Good morning and welcome to Whitewater Mennonite Church service for January 17th, 2021. I am Amy Lowen. I'm going to start with reading Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. It's January and a new year seems like a good time to make some new beginnings. Or is it? When Pastor Wes emailed me about leading this morning, he mentioned something that resonated with me to the core, making me wonder, what is it about the middle rather than beginnings? The process, the part that is easier for us to relate to. As we read in scripture today, there are important reasons for noting beginnings, and yet the majority of our life, our journey, is in the midst of. With the year closing a few weeks ago, I read and heard more than a few people saying how good it would be to see the backside of 2020 and start a new year. Yet as we know, restrictions continue. We return to routine after the holidays, and we are at once beginning and continuing on. It's not as if a switch flipped and suddenly there was no pandemic, no struggle, a complete 180. This year, more than others, has felt like a strange ongoing rather than a real beginning. I'm not sure how it was in ancient times or even in the previous century, but it does seem that our culture loves bold beginning statements, aspirations for something lofty, the build-up to something we will all want to witness. We celebrate with the ambitious, maybe even envy a little, or feel like we wish we had the same steely resolve to accomplish the next big thing. A new business venture, travel plans, a health and fitness resolution, the launching of a child into a new stage of life. Yet we live in the present, the not yet, in the midst of. We may feel like it's the same thing over and over, nothing grand or even honorable about our thoughts and acts as we make it through another day's journey. Maybe making it through the day is our most lofty goal. Can we fathom a new beginning in the middle? The Gospels tell of Jesus' beginnings in a variety of ways. The familiar Bethlehem story, a brief account of him at 12, then fast forward to the beginning of his ministry. We don't know much about the in-between. I recently listened to a podcast in which the narrator spoke of Jesus's growing up years belonging to his family in a way, not ours to know this side of heaven. In not saying a lot, something is said. God values the process, not just the beginning or the end. God could have provided a miracle savior at 30 years of age and similarly accomplished what he desired. Instead, he chose a family, experiencing humanity, Jesus growing in stature and wisdom to reach another beginning point, his baptism and subsequent public ministry. Today we focus on several beginnings, a creation account, Christ's baptism and ministry, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit imparting the gifts of tongues and prophecy. Two of these are middle beginnings in a way. Shall we say beginning a new leg of the journey? Jesus' public ministry was a complete change from carpentry and village life, and yet he was still growing, learning, and communicating with his father. In Acts, believers, having already professed their faith in Jesus and being baptized by John, find themselves to be baptized once more and given remarkable gifts. Perhaps we are something like them. We know in whom we've placed our faith. We're baptized, familiar with Scripture and our faith experience. And yet, is there a possibility of more, a new beginning in the midst of? Can we have a fresh understanding of our Savior, creation, and our Creator? Let's begin by asking together. Please bow with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you that you are the Lord of all time, the beginnings, in the midst of, and the future. We know and trust that you are with us, even when we cannot feel you at work. We ask for your presence now as we gather, apart and yet together. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us peace. Help us to keep on with what you have given us to steward, holding fast to you. We ask also for renewal, a new beginning, fresh understanding. We ask for strength to live in love and creativity, to glean from you our hope and a measure of joy as we navigate this world together. Amen.
Oh, So much has changed in our world lately.
疫情中这么多人失去生命，显明了生命的脆弱与短暂。
Pero la asombrosa gracia y amor de Jesús es más fuerte que la vida y la muerte.
Wo auch immer du bist, ruf seinen Namen an. Jesus.
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 Jesus
Christ.
Jesus.
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 I'll wait another day.
Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, breath of life, light a path through darkest night. In your care we confess our deepest sigh. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. O desire and glorious Son, though we live as your body here on earth, even so, Lord Jesus, come.
Our reading for the Old Testament reading today is from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5, and I'm reading from the NRSV. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And our New Testament reading is from Acts 19, verses 1 to 8. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. A I think by now we're all familiar with how to give to the church. You can do an e-transfer or you can bring a check to the church. I'll pray for our offering now. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you for how you provide for us in our lives. We trust in your provision and we ask you to bless what we give to you today. Pray that you would bless it and that it would be directed in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
The song that we are going to hear now comes from Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Winkler, so there may be some people that you recognize. The quartet.
Today is from Mark 1, verses 1 to 11. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
Good morning. And of course you're muted, so I can't hear if you're saying good morning back, but I'm going to assume you did. I'm going to try something here just real quick, since I was on vacation. Two of the things I did on vacation, I had some help. Let's see here. I did a little woodworking and skiing. I don't know if you guys can see that. Okay. That's what I did. That was a lot of fun. It's pretty good to be back. I think vacations are kind of supposed to be like that. Pretty good to be back. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. With this simple and direct declaration, proclamation of a new beginning, Mark launches into his fast-paced and gritty telling of the life of Jesus. Jesus, the fulfillment of Israel's hopes for a rescuer, the Messiah, the Christ, and Jesus, the one who is intimately related to God, the God of Israel, God's Son. This opening statement, though, is also an invitation, and it's that part of it that makes this first sentence, I think, one of the most hopeful for me in the entire Bible. Mark's writing style, and especially the way he ends his book, there at 16, verse 8, points back here to the beginning and then out to you, to the hearer. Somehow in the middle of history, in the midst of creation, God did something new. And Mark claims, he tells us that new thing that happened is only the beginning of that story. And that it's being written now, still, through the life of the church. And we are participants in that story, the story of Jesus, when we participate with him in baptism, when we follow Jesus into the waters and out the other side as new people with a new vocation inhabited by the Spirit. But the proclamation of newness is a bit hard. It's hard for me to communicate. It's hard for me even to like say it out loud. And so I'm going to imagine that for some of you, it is also a little hard for you to hear. For many of us, real newness becomes a little hard to imagine at some point, or maybe at various points. We probably, you know, remember anticipating newness. Maybe we experience glimpses of it when we encounter babies. but we're skeptical of claims to newness, especially good newness, right? Bad newness, maybe. Good newness, right? Somebody's found a great new diet or a new investment plan or a completely new way to farm or a completely new way to do accounting. I mean, you better watch out. Clean energy, a new media platform that always tells it like it is. Someone's had their life completely turned around. A new church growth or a spiritual formation technique. I always cringe a little bit whenever I get those kind of announcements or notifications on my phone or on this computer, this church or the one at home, when there's like a new update, a new operating system. Because I know that, well, first off, it never makes things easier to use. It doesn't seem to ever make anything faster. But I also know that when there are announcements of new products coming out, that 2 or 3 years down the road, I'm going to have that product because the one I have is going to break. And then I'm going to have to learn something all over again. And, well, we've been disappointed before. And on the other hand, there are some of you who really do see newness. You maybe you're young, maybe you're optimistic, maybe you're idealistic, but you can imagine newness. You see potential. You plan for it. You design for it. You work for it. But often, these plans and these designs don't necessarily take the rest of us into account. The squares, if you want to use like 1960s language, or maybe the boomers, if you want to use kind of language closer to us today. You can imagine something new, but not something new that includes the old, the stuck in the mud. In church circles, you see this. There are often, really exciting church planting movements in the West, I'm talking about, where there's energy and there's expectation, but often, most of the time, these movements are not tied back, not tied to the church, the church that is, the church that supposedly God is in. And these movements, you know, they go to places where there are plenty of churches, both in terms of congregations and in terms of buildings. There's an attitude sometimes that we'll get rid of the institution and we'll do it right for once, which is exactly what our forebears said and gave us this. Maybe it doesn't sound like I just got off vacation, but my point is that it's hard to imagine new in the middle. I mean, I do not take my car to Do Rights and get this 51-point tune-up and then leave wanting to keep my car for another 15 years. Like, it doesn't happen. The newest software update on my phone doesn't make it appreciably better. My computer, when I get a new update, it usually makes things worse. Often when we do a renovation, we're not left with a feeling of pure joy, but a satisfactory compromise. Or when we have reconciliation, does that friendship always go deeper and closer? Well, when we do experience pure delight, when we do experience true reconciliation, when we experience even a hint of newness, I'd suggest that we have rubbed shoulders. We've rubbed up against divine wisdom and grace. Maybe we should spend more time with babies. And maybe Marg and Amy and Caitlin have known this a lot longer than some of the rest of us. We began the hearing of scripture today with creation imagery. God is creator in the Psalm 29. That's creation imagery, although it's kind of chaotic there. God coming in the form of a storm, but especially there in Genesis. We begin at the beginning when there was only God. There's no beginning to go back further to. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the primordial chaos, the turbulent deep waters, the formless void. This beginning is hard to imagine, but I'd suggest in many ways the beginning is easier to swallow than a new beginning, because it's further away. And I guess we have had less experience with the formless void, and so we've been disappointed less by that primordial beginning. But new beginnings in the middle, after all the chaos and the rebellion of the human heart has been made manifest, after insurrections and after lies to one another and after relational breakdown, after relational transgressions, newness after cancer and osteoporosis and arthritis, newness in the middle of time. The Spirit of God, close at hand, about to do something new, about to breathe new life, marks our story from beginning to new beginning. The hovering of God over the deep waters gave rise in a few commentaries that we have, Jewish writings, imaging God as dove, as a bird, hovering there over the waters. A dove that in Mark 1 tears asunder the division between the realm of God, that is heaven, and the realm of creation, that is earth. A dove that comes down on a particular Jew in a muddy little river on the boundary of a long promised land. And the Spirit of God takes up residence and stays involved. This language of involvement I owe to Old Testament professor Ellen Davis. And it grabbed me. God chooses over and over again to be involved, to stay involved, to get involved. And it happens in baptism, first in Jesus, and then at Pentecost and his followers, and then in Acts 19 with evangelized followers, and then with the rest of the church down through the ages. So I wonder, is that a step? Is baptism a step that you're called to make? To get involved with God in baptism? Or are you being called to renew that call on your life, that movement through the waters? To get re-involved, more involved, more deeply involved with God. Ancient Israel tells us these creation stories and alludes to them over and over again because they are important. Not important as facts to be learned as much as promises to be kept. When Israel gets in trouble, they point back to God at creation, one who is powerful enough to make, to order, to reorder, to remake, to save. If God acted in that way then, we can cling to a God acting in that way now, with us in our chaos. We look up, hoping to see a dove powerfully flapping, wings cupped, coming into land, arriving with sustenance, with salvation, with an olive branch, with peace. The message of Scripture is that God is involved with us, deeply and irrevocably so. as the Spirit descends, taking up residence in Jesus and in humanity, Jesus heard a voice, "You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased." When we participate in his baptism, that voice is for us too. That identity is ours too. You are my daughter. You are my son. Beloved. In you I am well pleased. You're home. You may be new here. You may take some time to get acquainted with the way, but you're part of the family. That identity, that newness within us, takes some time to get used to. And sometimes we run away from it, we obscure it, and we need to be called back to it by one another. Now, I want to acknowledge that we've been in the dark for quite a while now. It's winter here in Manitoba. The light is dawning earlier and earlier, but there's a lot of winter left. The pandemic is approaching a year old. The vaccines are coming, but there's a lot of COVID time left. There's been unresolvable conflict over all kinds of questions, but especially over questions concerning stances and attitudes and beliefs around sexuality. That's been here. Many of us here present have never known a church growing numerically. And very few of us have experienced a church that is missional rather than ethnic or a church that's kind of a cultural tradition. That is one that is not, most of us have not known a church that has new members, largely new members in it. We're in need of some newness here. Not a return to before COVID times or back to the good old days when we had choirs, although I would like choirs. But we need a newness that can only come from God and from our involvement with God. A newness that we can't corral or control or probably even plan for. But I wonder, do we want that? Are we open to newness? I mean, right? We're not talking about a little new varnish, right? We're not talking about changing music styles or moving the pews around or carpeting this new area or, you know, an espresso bar with fair trade coffee or, you know, one-off outreach events. We're not talking about changing denominational affiliation or, you know, mission statement tweaks, though God may lead us in any of those directions. I'm talking about a surprising newness, an organic newness, God taking up residence in the neighborhood, newness. The thing is God's already involved, already at work. The question really is, do we want to be involved and in that work, to be more involved? I'm going to name a few of the big kind of big ticket issues that God's involved with that we need to lean into. These aren't things that we can tackle in a sermon or in a year. These are probably things that we can't tackle all of these maybe in a decade, but truth, the question of truth is something that's been always disputed since forever. But that's one of the things that we need to be involved with God in order to discern truth. I'm talking about factual truth and truthy truth. Creation and climate. This is a huge issue. We need to stop denying that. To get involved with God. Race. both our country, our societies, our churches, and our own personal baggage, sin, chaos, ignorance, desire surrounding race and white supremacy and privilege. It looks more overt and uglier down south, but it's part of us as well. Healthy sexuality, or faithful, for a better word, sexuality. These are challenges that we don't have answers to, and yet God is involved. And every beginning has its own little beginning. And so when we get together, hopefully in person, but very likely by Zoom, and we commission our new leadership, we're also going to go through part of the form that we do with baptism for a baptismal renewal. We often do this when we receive new members as well. Just to remind us whose we are and what we're part of. The pandemic, what it's done is killed a lot of people and brought a lot of anxiety to us. It's a bad thing. It has marked our history, and it provides that marking, that void that it sets down now, is also an opportunity for us to speak about before COVID times and after COVID times, and to make new decisions as we come out of COVID times. That's how I think we might be able to think about giving sense to this time. That marker set down gives us an opportunity to repent of the bad, the tired, the worn out, the practices and attitudes that have slipped into our lives through neglect or abuse or ignorance or busyness or compromise or straight up rebellion. But we are arriving at a turning point. And so we can make some decisions about how we're going to come out of this, what we're going to do, what we're going to say is really important. And I want to say that the priority here is not some big project, but it's simply becoming more involved with God. Becoming more involved with God so we can recognize God's involvement with creation and with us. And I need you on this journey because you need each other on this journey, because sometimes we don't want what's new, and what's new is scary. So we need one another to grab each other's hands. Hopefully that happens in the future, to grab us and pull us up further up and further in. I pray God's blessing on you, that he may come close, grab you, and renew you. Amen.
With you, graceful birds in the sky, mighty trees to us cry of God's love and God's presence with us. And we answer that call when we care for them all and reflect back the love that we must. Now may the Lord of peace give to you peace always, in every way, in every pass, God is with you. In the days that go by, we are all called to try to be kind and make choices for peace. Though we sometimes choose wrong, God is with us and will be with us on the road all along. Now may the Lord of peace give to you peace always, in every way, in every place, God is with you. God our protector, keep us in mind, always give strength to your people. If we could be with you for one day in time, it was better than a thousand without you. It is better than a thousand without you.
God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace and transform us by your spirit. Beloved, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in that peace. Amen.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Amy, Pastor Wes, Sheldon, George, for all your contributions.
George, Heidi, that Even So song, have we sung that together?
I think so. Yes, over the years.
All right, we should sing that together when we get back together.
Okay. Could send out the words.